Thank you. Thank you for joining our Faith, Family, and Freedom program today. What an honor that you would allocate some time to us for this special program. We appreciate it. And I know that in our viewing or in our television watching, we have so many choices, and we have to make decisions about what we want to see. Well, I hope that this program proves to be worthwhile for your time. I hope that we can be an inspiration, maybe an encouragement. Maybe we can show some lucidity. Maybe we can show something that would help inform, that would help illuminate our understanding. I did a little message not long ago at our church about leaving our first love. I wanted to share some of that with you today, and let's go to the auditorium of Liberty Baptist Church. All right, preaching time. Take your Bible, turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, the book of the Revelation. Would you stand tonight as we honor the Lord's word, if you can? One verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be at our best for you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I want to preach just for a few minutes on leaving our first love. How do you know if you've left your first love? I always use this illustration. I hope you won't get tired of it, but I remember when Shirley and I first met, and I was speaking evidently with some kind of a chemical imbalance, because I told my cousin, and I told Todd's dad, I said, I'm going to marry her, and that just goes to show you what happens when you get in love. I was consumed with a love for my bride-to-be. I think if she would have called me and said, hey, look, I'm stuck on a bus in St. Louis, I would have said, well, that's not a problem. I'll be right there. Leave the driving to me. I think if I would have known that maybe she was in Boone, North Carolina, in the mountains, I would have said, honey, don't you worry about that. Boy, I can be right there. I was consumed. When you got saved, were you consumed with a love for the Savior? How much were you in love with Him? I have to give my own little testimony. When I got saved, I didn't know how to be saved. Many times I don't think we do know how. But to the best of my ability, I surrendered my life and I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that by grace, through faith, are you saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I wonder today, this message, I don't want it to be abrasive, but I wonder how many of us men would continue to be married if we never came home in the evening. If we were gone days upon end, and your wife wrote you or called you or texted you, said, hey, honey, it'd be awful nice if you'd come home. I haven't seen you for a while. I'm about to forget what you look like. I'm making a point. How many today in our church world are no longer consumed with the love of the Savior? It has become mundane. It has become generic. It has just become kind of a matter of a fact. I want to tell you something tonight. I don't have much confidence in people that never show any love for Christ, that have no care for the things of God, and don't like to be in church. If we don't enjoy church here, what would make us think we would enjoy heaven? If we cannot come to the house of God, why would we think we were going to heaven? For example, I'll say it. I think there may be untold thousands with a name on a church register that knows nothing about the love of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we all go through valleys. There's times when we are up, and the Lord knows our downsettings and our uprisings and our thoughts are far off. But I tell you what, before I got married, I was consumed. I wanted to be with my bride. I wanted to be with her. I enjoyed seeing her. I enjoyed hearing her voice. How long has it been since you've heard the voice of the Savior? I'm not talking about an audible voice, but how long has it been since that sweet Holy Ghost welled up on the inside, just like Miss Ethel singing that beautiful song tonight? It was a blessing. I would just as soon hear her sing that tonight as any of my favorite friends that sing, and I don't mean that disrespectful. You know why? I could feel that sweet spirit. We go to church, and many of us never feel the Spirit of God, and yet we say we're Christians. Wouldn't it be awful if your mate called you and said, "Honey, I'm just about to forget what you look like. Could you send me a picture?" And yet we go through day after day after day. And does the Lord ever hear from us? Do we ever tell Him, "Oh God, I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus." We go through valleys sometimes. I've been through one lately. And I believe that the Lord allows us sometimes these experiences to reconnect to Him. It keeps us humble. The Apostle Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh would be removed, but God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's not, "Paul, I know you've suffered. You've been in the peril of the deep. You've been whipped. You've been beaten with rods. 5 times you got, 38 stripes. You've been forsaken by your countrymen. You're cold. You're hungry. But I haven't forsaken you." He said, "There stood by me this night on the ship an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." I wonder tonight, my first question is, can you tell when you've left your first love? I'm of the opinion that many of our marriages fail because we don't tell one another that we love them. I think that as Christians, we ought to tell one another when we care for them and build them up. I told Todd today, I said, "Todd, I don't want to be a discourager. I want to be an encourager." Are we no longer consumed? I mean, I'm about through with this point because you're probably wanting me to get off of it too. What if you had to be begged or cajoled or whatever word you want to use to go home tonight? What if you'd been away and your wife would call you up and say, "Oh, honey, kids would like to see you. I'd sure like to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Seems like we just don't have much in common anymore." The Bible said here in verse 2 and 4, He said, "Nevertheless, I have something against you," somewhat against you, "because thou hast left thy first love." May I tell you this? In chapter 2 of the book of the Revelation, Christ is walking in the midst of the churches. By chapter 3, he's knocking at the door, trying to get into the local church. Now, wait. Somebody said, well, I think that means he's knocking at my heart door to be saved. That's not the reference. He's trying to get in to the local church, but has no place there. A good friend of mine that lives in Georgia made this statement. You can take it for whatever it's worth. He said, in most churches today, if the Holy Spirit showed up, they would give him a visitor card. He's just not been there. I see church after church, it gets disheartening. I go to many places and I see a lot of people that I feel like they must have left their first love. I travel, but I'm always glad to get back to my love. Appreciate getting to share different portions of the program. We like to keep the segues short enough where we maintain and keep your interest. And I know that many of you enjoy a good song. I appreciate that as well. Gerald Wolfe and his hymn sing tapings have been wonderful, and they many times go back and just pick up some of the great songs from yesteryear, and they share them with us. This particular number, I'm not sure when it was written, but it is a favorite. We sing it sometimes in our church surroundings, and I think the arrangements today of this beautiful song that was written many, many years ago is so true, just as true as when it happened to be written. The song simply says, I know he heard my prayer.
Choir, stand, and let's do I know he heard my prayer, all right? This is gonna be good. Good. Third verse.
Third verse.
if you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. Well, we have had a great time already with you, our friends. Be sure that you tell others about this program. Faith, Family, and Freedom, those are three cardinal words, I think, words that are paramount, words that have tremendous significance. And I was reading not long ago. I enjoy reading whenever I can get the opportunity, in addition to my Bible reading. And Thomas Paine, who was prominent in the times of the American Revolutionary period, the time right before the war, he wrote a little pamphlet titled Common Sense. And he said, these are the times that try men's souls. I guess he was thinking of the magnitude of the decision to separate, to withdraw from the mother country, and to have 13 fledgling colonies embark on their own experiment to have a representative government, a democracy in that people make choices, and that we invest the power not in the state but in the people. Thomas Paine also wrote this little quote. He said, he who dare not offend cannot be honest. And that's probably a pretty accurate statement. I think if we stay with the truth, not everybody is going to like it. When the Lord stood before Pilate, Pilate, who was somewhat favorable to the Lord in the sense that he really didn't want to crucify him, Pilate asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? Perhaps Pilate didn't have the understanding to know that he was standing in front of the very personification of truth. The Lord had already said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without truth, societies don't make it. Without truth, we fail. I believe in one of the earlier programs we shared with you about Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, and he said, a lie told once is still a lie. A lie told 1,000 times becomes truth. And I think that's what they did in the Third Reich. They repeated lies over and over to where people finally embraced them. You know, so many Germans at that time didn't seem to be aware, even later, that there were concentration camps, or that there were places where the people were burned and put in incinerators and those ovens. And I know at the conclusion of the war, President Eisenhower made some of the townspeople actually walk through the camps so they could see for themselves how horrific and how awful the conditions were, that people would go so far in their hatred of another race that they would want to exterminate them, put them in gas chambers, and so on. I think in America, I think we need to be very concerned when we have attacks on the churches, when the state tries to impose the dogma and to try to tell pastors what this acceptable and what is unacceptable. I know in our own denomination, in the Baptist faith, we have always been believers in the autonomy of the local church, the priesthood of the believer, and the idea that every man and every woman is entitled to liberty. That's what John Leland did for James Madison when he helped write the First Amendment. Liberty, liberty, the price of liberty cannot ever be overestimated, and I'll be saying more in just a few moments. Gender transformation. Wow. If you ask most people on the street, what are the meaning of these two words? I absolutely believe that most people could not tell you. And strictly from a physiological perspective, I don't feel that I know either. It has to do with trying to make a girl a boy or a boy a girl and making that offer to change the sex of the individual to it. It would then be made available to other youngsters as young as 3 years old. It is absolutely embarrassing to even speak to this craziness, and so many remain silent and refuse to speak against the wickedness of this demonic present administration. May God grant to us some holy boldness, and especially preachers who absolutely refuse to bow at the altar of Baal. God does not have to wait until the next election. There may not be another election. My concern is not to try to arouse those in spiritual darkness, but to awake the sleeping Christians who have been coddled into thinking that everything will just work out. In the forthcoming, or in the video just shown, we talked about gender. It shouldn't be an arduous task or a difficult task for people of learning to be able to identify gender. The Lord only made two. He made man and woman, both male and female. He created them in His own image. That's enough for me. I mean, there's when we try to add other dimensions, it'd be like asking somebody if it's raining and they say, I don't know, I'm not a meteorologist. Well, we have to go with just the basics. Common sense takes us a long way. And I am here to declare today that I believe in just male and female. I don't believe in same-sex marriage. We reject that. I don't believe that man and woman were supposed to be separated into groups to where they would be with their own kind. The Lord spoke about that. Paul did in the book of Romans chapter 1. But I want to thank you today for being with us. I hope you'll continue to tell others about the program. If you'd ever like for us to come to your area, you can reach us by the contact information on the screen. This is Andrew Phipps. I hope you have a beautiful day, and may God bless.